Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap, then our guest. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, for a two-hour special broadcast yesterday. It was tremendous, to say the least. We talked about the ultimate two-hour comparison and contrast between the January 6th rally and the peaceful county sheriff, America's last hope event that took place. It was a public event, CSPOA.org, in Woodlands, Texas, right outside of Houston. Tremendous, peaceful, incredible event. We talked about the FBI seeks more Capitol rioter arrests, as the number is about 275 now. They claim they got about 500 more to find. The January 6th rally, one of the largest frauds perpetrated against the American people in U.S. history, ladies and gentlemen. The idea that it was a riot and an insurrection is an absolute, complete lie by the mainstream press, in bed with the current administration, in bed with the police, et cetera, et cetera. Folks, look, how many people went to the Capitol? A million? How many people went to the peaceful rally? A million? How many went to the Capitol? 100,000? How many people really breached the Capitol? Well, they've got 275 arrested. They say there's up to 800. But how many convictions will they really end up with at the end of the day? 50? 100? So when you have a million people go to a peaceful rally, then you have 100,000 march to the Capitol, and you have like maybe 100 or 200 people that are guilty of anything, certainly they should be prosecuted for their crimes. But is that an insurrection led by the President of the United States? Not even maybe. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say this again. The January 6th rally is one of the largest frauds perpetrated against the American people in U.S. history. This is an absolute lie by the mainstream press that Donald Trump led an insurrection and or that he incited a riot or incited an insurrection. It's an absolute, complete lie. The president said, go to the Capitol peacefully and patriotically, influence your congressman or senator to look into vote fraud. We got to have the truth on this thing. He was within his rights to do so. But boy, have the mainstream press and the current administration lied and deceived the people. In fact, they ought to be in prison for their lies. It's so evil, so satanic. You know what? We spoke out against going to the rally. We also spoke out against going to the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. And now they're trying to insinuate that we're somehow involved. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the ultimate two-hour compare and contrast between the January 6th rally and our peaceful event. So while this big old rally was happening, we were planning our peaceful event that was incredible. Anyway, listen to yesterday's broadcast if you want to get a handle on it. 2 hours, libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net, lovingliberty.net. Donate today. 2 hours of the best content of the breakdown of who's peaceful and who's not and why and what and where and how and who and the whole bit. Welcome to the broadcast. We also talked about my speech at that incredible peaceful event. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. That's right. We also talked about Larvita McFarquhar, havensgarden.org, and she is a modern-day Rosa Parks in Minnesota. And we went to her restaurant, had a big old event to keep her restaurant open. They're trying to shut down poor Larvita. And the reality is Larvita is like a modern-day Rosa Parks. We need to stand with her, not against her, ladies and gentlemen. They call us racist. I'm white. She's black. We're standing together. Why are we standing together if I'm such a racist? Well, because she's right, and she needs protection from our out-of-control government. That's why. So the lie about racism is jettisoned now, and the truth about standing shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of liberty is on tap. Welcome to the broadcast. We finished up yesterday's broadcast by talking about the stories of God, family, and country. See, they tell you I'm an insurrectionist. They're off their rockers, crazy, dishonest. They ought to go to prison for their lies. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Larry Pratt, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Good to be back. I'm so glad that you brought up that notice, that news about Larvita Farquhar. I read a little bit about her, and I thought, this is a lady that's really got a backbone, and you see almost nothing about her fight to fight the, what might we call them, the health Nazis?
Yeah, they're beyond that, though. I mean, it's not even health anymore. Their lies have been exposed to the point where really they're control Nazis. I mean, they're just flat out want to shut down and control everybody. So I don't know if you know, but we heard about the Larvita story. We jumped on it. We literally had her on the radio. She went to the Capitol. We covered their peaceful involvement at the Capitol live, Larry, on Liberty Roundtable. And then we went to Minnesota and had a peaceful rally with her at her restaurant. We tried to meet with the sheriff. He refused to meet with us, said he had too much to do working on the vaccinations. And then after we left her event, we had an event in Texas, and we invited Larvita. And Richard Mack, during his speech, went down into the crowd, put his arm around Larvita and said, hey, she's the modern-day Rosa Parks. We got to stand with her. We can't allow government without authority, without evidence, to shut down businesses. She needs the business to support her daughters. She had one of her daughters with her. And it was a tremendous event. But look at the contrast to who's doing what in America, sir.
Very interesting to note exactly that. You hear almost nothing from the mainstream media, as it's called, probably better, the Democrat Party press office. But in any case, they don't want to mention things like this because they're not for fostering independent thinking, independent action, people not depending on the government. That's the last thing in the world that they have on their agenda. And so I am so glad to hear that you were able to give her the attention that she deserves, hopefully get some support that she didn't have before, because people like that, as brave as they are, they often just can't stand alone. They have to have the rest of us coming alongside.
Amen to that. We are not letting the Larvita McFarquhar story go either. We got to meet her four beautiful daughters. We learned about her restaurant. She fed us. We had dinner together. I had the chance to speak a little bit. The good sheriff spoke. Just a tremendous evening. Sadly, the sheriff wouldn't even meet with a man that beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court on states' rights and with a nationally syndicated talk show host. The sheriff was too busy with vaccinations to help us there.
Well, that's a pity because he's obviously drunk the Kool-Aid on that, too. But in any case, I think what you did was extremely important, and hopefully it helped mobilize support for her that's going to get her through this very difficult time.
All right, now, speaking of getting shut down, they tried to shut down Larvita. She refuses to shut down. They've threatened her with arrest and fines and everything else. And on top of that, now they say, even if Larvita goes to jail, they say her daughters will just step up and run the restaurant for her. And I asked them specifically, what if they have to go to jail? They said they'll do it anyway. So you've got literally five people deep on this thing now, four daughters and a mom saying, look, we don't have a choice. This isn't a debate. Okay. If we don't have our restaurant and our dance studio open, we don't even make any money. And if we don't make any money, we can't even live. This is
the
serious.
people that are oppressing her and perhaps her daughters, they get a paycheck, whether there's a mandate to stay at home with the scare about the virus, they get a check. So they don't have a problem, and it never occurs to them when they're telling the rest of the world to stand down, don't do anything, the sky is falling, they're going to get a check, but not the other people that they're talking about. This can be, in a sense, the end of the world. And you tell somebody who's running a small business that has to be open to the public that they have to close down, that really? And then what is your alternative for that person? Oh, well, they just have to follow orders.
That's the sad tale we're experiencing, I'll tell you that. But you know what? Larvita's not the only one getting shut down.
No.
Did you know that I'm getting shut down, too?
You getting deplatformed?
Yes, I am, sir. So the latest, I got this yesterday right after the show. Headline says this. Twitter violation at Liberty Round TBL. We have temporarily limited some of your account features. Now, they say that very kind of, soft-like. We have temporarily limited some of your features. Now, listen to what the features are, but we'll get into that in a second. Liberty Roundtable at Liberty Round TBL. What happened? Yeah. What happened? We have determined that this account violated the Twitter rules, specifically for 1, violating the policy on spreading misleading and potentially harmful information related to COVID-19.
In other words, information they disagree with.
That's correct.
And whatever they disagree with has to be a dirty, rotten lie from the pit of hell, and they're not going to hawk about it. Just that's the end of the subject.
Yeah, that's how they are. That's right. That's exactly right. They say, we understand that during times of a crisis and instability, that it's difficult to know what to do to keep you and your loved ones safe, Larry. Under this policy, we require you to remove the content that threatens people's health, or they say that may pose a risk to people's health, is how they put it. Including content that goes against what they call authoritative sources. We'll talk about this with Larry Pratt in seconds, folks. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Back with you live, Larry Pratt with me, ladies and gentlemen. So they've shut me down on Twitter now. Twitter violation at Liberty Round TBL. We have temporarily limited some of your account features, which means I can't tweet and I can't do anything that matters. I can follow everybody else and their dog. I can follow the people that, you know, carry the government/Twitter line. Under this policy, they say we require the removal of content that may pose a risk to people's health, including content, listen carefully, including content that goes against, well, they say directly against guidance from authoritative sources, yeah, of global and local public health information. For more information on COVID-19, go to all these different places. Sam, so you can get caught up, go to all our sources, if you will. Go to the Who. Go to the, okay. Now, here's the tweet that got me banned. You ready? Experimental vaccine death rates for Israel's elderly is 40 times greater than COVID-19 deaths. And I sent that on March 8th. As a result, Sam, we have temporarily limited some of your account features. You can browse Twitter, but you can't tweet. Yeah. No tweets, no retweets, no follows, no likes, none of that, buddy. We've started your account, man. You have 12 hours to fix this. Here's what you got to do. You can start your countdown, Sam, and continue to Twitter once you verify your email address, once you remove tweets that violate our rules, and if you think we made a mistake, you can challenge it here. Now, Larry, I don't know if you know, but if you type this in, there are several sites, including LifeSite News, that have this same headline. But they've shut me down because I won't go along with sources. Now, the only way for me to get restored, see, because they make it sound like it's temporary, if Sam fixes it, it's temporary. But if Sam holds the line that it's not temporary, it's permanent because I haven't done the things they've asked, so the clock never starts on resetting my account or starting me fresh. But I've simply reported the headline that talks about this idea that, hey, you know what? Experimental vaccines, death rate for Israel's elderly, 40 times higher than COVID-19 deaths.
And, of course, there's no way to make them come forth with the evidence to back up the accusation, because the burden of proof in a society where there's due process is on the accuser.
Now,
and they don't want to do that.
Now, I don't know how to respond except to say for this, I am not going to recant my tweet. And let me tell you why. The First Amendment of the United States gives me the right to say whatever I want. Now, I agree that I can't threaten people's lives and I can't cross the line into criminal activity. I get that.
Right.
But I have every right to post a headline that's on other websites and discuss it on my radio program.
Well, you know, that's one.
And whether it's factual or not is not the point. They don't say you have a First Amendment right if it's deemed factual by a certain group of people. Whether it's factual or not isn't the point. Now, I believe it's a factual headline. They say that it's not. Well, the debate rages about who's right on that, but who's right or wrong on that fact is a misguided discussion. Because even if it's blatantly false, I have every right to believe it, and I have every right to say it if I choose. The First Amendment doesn't break down anything based on fact or fiction or opinion or ideas. I have the right to my free speech, not a nationally syndicated radio program. I have the right to tweet and write about it. That's what freedom of speech and freedom of the press is about. So here's the question for you. Should I sue them?
Well, Sam, I think that's a lot of money. You possibly could win, depending on whether you get an Obama or a Trump judge. But I've just taken, I do not have a Twitter account. I post, among other sites, on Parler. Parler has a specific stated objective of allowing anything short of what you were saying. You know, you don't shout fire in a crowded theater. You don't call this number to get information on assassinating somebody. But short of that, any disagreement on facts and opinion, Parler says that's what free speech is all about.
So I look at this and I say, they say based on our policy, we require the removal of content that may pose a risk to people's health and that goes against direct guidance from authorities. My free speech allows me to go against direct guidance from the authorities. Let's rewind a little bit to what, Magna Carta times? Is that where we ought to go? You know, the idea here was we want to be able to, you know, read the Bible. Oh, no, that's against the law. You can't read the Bible, buddy. We'll tell you what the Bible says. Oh, no, we're going to read the Bible. And so people really fought, gave their lives, their sacred honors, their fortunes, their Now, reputations, they're everything on this altar that I want to read the Bible. They memorized Bible verses. They wrote them down. They translated the Bible. They made copies by hand. This was a big battle then. Whether you agree or disagree that there's a God, I still have the right to say there is. Whether you agree or disagree with this vaccination discussion, I have every right to say, hey, man, Israel's elderly are dying from the COVID vaccine more so than the COVID itself. And I have every right to say that, even if it's not true. I have the right to say that Joe Biden's got a Pinocchio nose, buddy. He just flat out lies all the time. And he's been caught lying over and over and over. He's been caught plagiarizing people. Okay, I have the right to say that, too. Now, absolutely. Somebody would say, don't sue Sam. It'll take a lot of money and you're going to lose. And that has been the president. I get it. But let me ask you this. If a million Americans who lose their free speech rights battle and say, no, I'm not going to capitulate. I'm not going to go away peacefully. I'm going to use the redress of grievance part of the First Amendment to defend the other parts, my freedom to worship as I choose, my freedom of free speech, my freedom of the press. I'm going to peacefully assemble, and I'm going to sue for redress of grievance. I'm going to use every five-element guarantee in the First Amendment to double down on my rights. And if enough Americans did that, the whole nation would come to a screeching halt until this got dealt with once and for all. And you can say, Sam, Twitter's a private company. Jack Dorsey, the CEO, and all those guys can do whatever they want to. No, they can't. Their whole platform was built on government taxpayer dollars. Look, big tech has been in bed with big secret Pentagon. Government has been in bed with universities to build these platforms. And they've even created corporations. InQtel is one of them, to literally use my tax dollars to shut me down. That's what's happened, folks. And the right attorney could articulate that in a way. And if enough Americans sued, if you had 50 million lawsuits, this would stop, Larry. Part of the problem in America is nobody stands up. We just peacefully go, golly, that kind of sucked. I better do something else. And then we melt down and don't do anything, and they win. We have got to stop that.
And one of the things that will help is to look toward the next federal elections next year and make sure that the politicians that get elected, at least with our support, understand how serious this problem is. The Republicans have a habit of, when getting elected, and they say the right things, and I think, by and large, they believe those right things, but there's a real disconnect between believing and saying and doing. And we've got to find people, more people like the newly elected Congressman Lauren Boebert or this Nancy Taylor Greene, there's others on, like Louis Gohmert that's been there for some time, and a few others. But those are the almost the exceptions. And we need to be encouraging the candidates, insisting that the candidates that we back in our own backyard, as well as anyone that we might send a check to, no matter where they are in the country, they have to have demonstrated somehow that they're willing to fight. And most of these Republicans have a great fight rhetoric, but they don't have a great fight record.
So here's the next point. Whether it's true or not, there's allegations in the news. There's these researchers who are slamming the authorities on this story. All right? Quebec Cardinal slams the authorities on this thing. So I have the right to report on it. Even so. And I look at this thing and I think, if I do nothing about this, if I either, one, take it down so that I can stay on Twitter, or two, I jettison Twitter and go to Parler. In my opinion, both of those are a capitulation, are a let them win plan. Let's talk about this article in LifeSite News in seconds with Larry Pratt, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business, folks. This is not a joke.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The U.S. House of Representatives will vote on Wednesday to approve President Biden's $2,000 billion coronavirus stimulus package. With not enough Republicans to block the measure, it should get passed. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, "It is a remarkable, historic, transformative piece of legislation that goes a long way toward crushing the virus and solving our economic crisis." End quote. Another woman has come forward accusing Emmy Award-winning New York Governor, Democrat Andrew Cuomo, of sexual harassment. This complaint is reportedly from a member of Cuomo's executive chamber staff. The woman alleged Cuomo inappropriately touched her late last year at the governor's mansion, where she was called to work. This brings the number of women to six, now accusing Cuomo of sexual misconduct. Cuomo denies any wrongdoing. Last week, Rasmussen conducted a 1,000-person poll. Half of America doubts 78-year-old President Biden is physically or mentally fit to be president. The poll has a 3% margin for error. USA Radio News.
It's happened. Since Election Day, more than 5 million people have downloaded the free Newsmax TV app from their smartphone store. It takes seconds, and with the free app, you can watch Newsmax TV right away. Most cable news channels require a paid subscription. Not Newsmax. You get real news whenever you want. At home, Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. And it's free on OTT devices, your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, Vizio, and Roku, YouTube, Zumo, and Pluto. Now, the free smartphone app lets you watch Newsmax easily wherever you are. So check Newsmax.com online for breaking headlines. Then go to the Newsmax TV app to watch the latest news with Sebastian Gorka, Dick Morris, Greg Kelly, Diamond and Silk, Michelle Malkin, Mike Huckabee, Alan Dershowitz, and so much more. Newsmax is already the fourth highest rated cable news channel in America. Everyone is watching Newsmax because it's real news for real people.
Representative Vicente Gonzalez, the Democrat from Texas, closed an account with Bank of China following a news report. Gonzalez's most recent financial disclosure forms list holdings worth more than $100,000 with the bank owned by the Chinese Communist Party. Media outlet BuzzFeed announced Tuesday it had laid off 45 reporters, editors, and producers from the newly acquired Huffington Post, a.k.a. HuffPost. HuffPost executive editor Hillary Frey and Louise Rogue also resigned over the layoffs. All residents 16 and over in Alaska can now get their COVID-19 vaccine shot.
Alaska has become the first state to offer COVID vaccinations to all eligible residents. Governor Mike Dunleavy announced Tuesday that effective immediately, any individual living or working in the state over the age of 16 can get the shot. According to the CDC, Alaska has administered more shots per 100,000 people than any other state in the union. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
14 spring training games today in baseball. First game is at 1:05 p.m. Eastern. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Delaney wrote the article in LifeSite News, ladies and gentlemen. They say, while in January, a group of independent doctors concluded that experimental COVID-19 vaccines are not safer than the virus itself. So that's a group of independent doctors. I don't know if you call those the authorities, but who's the authorities? A group of independent doctors? Or okay. Then it goes on. A new analysis of death rates in Israel demonstrates that this may indeed be the case to dramatic levels. A reanalysis of public data released from the Israeli Health Ministry, a guy by the name of Dr. Hervé Seligman, a member of the Faculty of Medicine, Emerging Infectious and Tropical Diseases at Aix-Marseille University, and an engineer, Haim Yadif, reveal in short that the mRNA experimental vaccine from Pfizer killed about 40 times more elderly people than the disease itself would have. That's during a recent 5-week vaccination period. Among the younger class, these numbers are compounded, they say. Now, while the full mathematical analysis may be found in the, and they give a link, article itself, the authors demonstrate how among those who are vaccinated above 65, well, it was about 40 times greater death rate. Now, They say this scary picture also extends to those who are below 65 years old. Now, here's the interesting thing. This is reported by Israel National News. Now, this Seligman guy has a biology degree from Hebrew University of Jerusalem and has written more than 100 scientific publications. Now, the researchers have no other conflicts or interests other than the fact that they have children in Israel. So if I tweet out a headline that's from LifeSite News that quotes a Israeli news source that highlights a doctor that is backing up the research from independent doctors that happened in January, and now these doctors double down and say, hey, here's the facts as we see it, and they are credited for more than 100 published scientific, whatever you want to call it, articles. And they have a reanalysis of the published data and they draw their conclusions. And it's in this Israeli news source. And it's this credible doctor who, you know, these guys are graduates of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Okay, this guy has a biology degree from Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Okay, this guy's a doctor. Hold on. He's written more than 100 scientific publications. Now, if I report on that, is that fake news? I've just traced for you where his degrees are from. I traced for you the research that was before his that he then independently verified. I've given you that this guy has published over 100 literally, you know, medical or science publications. This guy's got credentials like you wouldn't believe. And if I quote that from LifeSite News, who quotes it from the Israeli news service that promoted it, am I allowed to even let you know about that research or not? Okay.
And I think there's something analogous that in one other area, among many others, I'm sure, but in the area of firearms-related crime, it's the Democrat-controlled cities where they have a strong, strong desire to impose restrictions on the Second Amendment. People in most of these cities, if not all of them, are not able to freely exercise the liberty protected by the Second Amendment. They're not able to protect themselves with their own guns, giving this kind of monopoly to the criminals. And you find that the crime rates, violent crime rates, including murder and rape and other violent assault, is higher in these places where they make it illegal or very difficult legally for people to protect themselves. We're talking about the same kind of mentality. Forget the studies that were conducted at that Hebrew university. We're going to tell you what to think, and if you think anything else, we're going to censor you.
I think this is a fight that I should take on, though. When you have Israel National News, and you have this guy that's, you know, graduated from the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, and has written more than 100 scientific publications, right? I don't know that you can just say that I am spreading fake news. All right. I'm not so sure that you can just say, Sam, you're not following the, authorities on this. There are authorities with differing opinions. One president of the United States believed that this coronavirus isn't the same as the next president. Those are two people in the same position. And now this guy that's published over 100 articles and, okay, his credentials are impeccable. And he's saying, hey, you know what? Our research validates these independent doctors. At what point does who have, quote, greater authority? But more important than that debate is, do I have the right to report on it anyway?
That, I think, is the point. And whether we're talking about guns or we're talking about vaccines or other ways of protecting ourselves from a pandemic, and I'm not even sure I want to use the word pandemic. It turns out that the survival rate among people who get COVID is somewhere north of 99%. The people that really are at risk from this year's virus are people who are seriously overweight, have diabetes, have heart condition, have cancer. Those are the people that are in the morbidity statistics to begin with. And that kind of gets glossed over when they're reaching for, and you used the word earlier, more control.
And I know that some might say, Sam, you're beating this to death. It's no big deal. A bunch of people have been banned from Twitter. Dennis Prager, many others have tried to sue these people with no success and da-da-da-da-da-da. But I submit to you that I'm on stable ground here. Okay, I have every right to express my opinion. That's separate from the fact that I have every right to report from LifeSite News and Israeli News Services about a man who is well-credentialed from well-credentialed universities, who's written over 100 medical publications that have been accepted, and now he speaks out, and I have the right to report to you that him doing independent research and verifying what a group of independent doctors have researched and found out, I have the right to report on that, and Twitter has no right to stop that. You can say, well, it's a private group, Sam. Twitter's not a public. Yeah, it is. It's been funded by your tax dollars, folks. Same with Facebook and Google and all these other modern-day corporations that seem to have dictatorial control over our free speech rights.
And specifically, Sam, they get a tax break in the United States Code that treats them as if they were a neutral platform. And in fact, they ought to be treated like something that is published by any other group that has an opinion. They're a publisher. They're not a platform. They're not a government website, for example. And so they should be taxed as any other private publisher is taxed. And that's something that they hope they don't have to deal with, but too bad. Maybe after the next election, which should go nicely in the other direction, assuming it's a free election, and that's probably a censurable statement as well, but assuming that they don't stop the vote counting around 2 in the morning and dump a bunch of votes in for the Democrats, we could see a different government, because I think there's a real pushback that's very evident already. People have had it. This is clearly not the America that it's supposed to be, and we're being told what to do rather than being able to make our own minds up to decide our own course of action, to be responsible for ourselves, and that is almost an heretical notion to the techno giants, to the bureaucrats and the government who are increasingly lording it over us.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live continues. Sam Bushman, Larry Pratt on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
All right, let's leave my Twitter debate, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thinking about suing Twitter, though. I'm telling you right now. I'm building my case as we speak on your radio. All I'm telling you, folks, is I have every right to report on this, even though they disagree with the content. There are legitimate, credible people speaking out about their views and their research, and I have every right, as a nationally syndicated talk show host, to express my opinion on that headline. And furthermore, I have every right to publish that headline and report on what's being researched and reported. All right? We're talking about LifeSite News, written by Patrick Delaney. Israel National News is where it comes from. There's a published article from Selectman, all right, who has a biology degree from the University of Jerusalem. Wow. Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He's also published more than 100 publications, ladies and gentlemen. All right, now, how does that relate to you and your life, you say? Let's talk about this for a second. They're about to take away your right to keep and bear arms, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt, how do we literally double down and nullify these gun control measures that are surely coming down the pike?
Well, there's one thing that seems to be constant in all these political battles, and that is that the, by and large, with very few exceptions, the folks that are here in Congress, in fact, in any elective office around the country, rather like being in elective office. And the thought of being voted out bothers them greatly. And so I know that while I was at Gun Owners of America, we developed, and it's still the policy there, that the whole purpose of a citizen lobby, of a grassroots lobby, is to I think it was Everett Dirksen that pointed out that we bother them. If they're not bothered, they're just going to go about their merry way for their own enrichment, both financially as well as aggrandizing power in their hands. And so the way to get their attention is for enough people to contact these members of Congress, in this case we're talking about, and to let them know that they're going to have a shorter tenure if they continue in this direction. If they pass this gun control monstrosity, or for that matter, the monstrosity that's already passed, what was it called, the Human Equity Act or some thing like that, they're basically trying to transfer control over individual decision-making and responsibility into the hands of the federal government. And they're trying to do it quickly enough that they might have all the levers of power by the 2022 elections. And I think it's incumbent upon us to convince them with so much pushback from the grassroots that they realize that that's not a viable alternative. They're going to have to get used to the idea that they are the people's representatives, not the people's masters. Right now, too many of them don't make that distinction.
I don't know if the states will have the guts to stand up, sir. They're all on the public dole so much. They receive so much money from the feds, and we've talked about this in the past, that they have such a conflict of interest when they're on the federal dole. And that was before the COVID. Now it's 10 times worse. They're all on the dole. They'll never fight back. How do we nullify federal gun control? And this is serious.
Well, one good example stands out, and that's Governor DeSantis in Florida. And he has been extremely successful in terms of pushing back against the feds. And it's been a very popular policy. He's probably going to get reelected when he's next up before the voters rather handsomely. So it can be done. But it goes back to what I was pointing to earlier. It takes a backbone. And if we don't select politicians that have backbones and are willing to fight, then we're not going to be able to accomplish this.
All right, I'm not sure how to respond to all these things we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you, the tyranny seems to ratchet up daily. There's another big concern about them shutting down everybody's credit cards or everybody's ability to receive credit card payments and things like this. It's called Operation Choke Point. Started under Obama, that was 1.0. Trump got rid of it, but it came back under Biden. Operation Choke Point 2.0, Larry Pratt. Are you caught up on this?
I haven't seen the latest, but I am familiar with the basic challenge, which is to tell merchants that if you're going to traffic in something like firearms or who knows, maybe dangerous ideas like the Israeli newspaper that was reporting on the COVID findings of these researchers, then you're not going to be able to accept credit card payments from people. So you would have to hope and wait that people will write a check, the check will get to you, and it completely disrupts the cash flow of the current business models, which is an instant payment that comes from people using a credit card online.
I don't know how to respond to this, because if they do this, I might as well just shut down my show. If we can't charge credit cards, if we can't repeat headlines, if they shadow ban us, if they do all these things, you take Google, you take Facebook, you take Twitter, and you take a few of these big news organizations, Amazon, Google, you know, I can, Microsoft, whatever, and you literally won't even have a voice on the internet at all. We might as well just turn off the internet. The big fight back tool we had has now been completely destroyed.
Well, one of the advantages, I think, of the, and it's still in its inception, I have to say, but places like Parler, places like Signal, which is another alternate information site, are using their own platforms, their own servers, so that they can't be shut down the way Parler was, and they were offline for about a month.
But let me tell you the next step, though. There's only two or three or four big internet providers that control the backbone. If they shut you down, even if you have your own server in a foreign country that you control that doesn't shut you down, or even if you have it in your basement, at some point you won't be able to send your data on the wire.
Well, that's I'm not sure how to answer that, because I'm not that familiar, I guess, with how all of this works. But I do know that if we don't develop alternatives, such as Parler's been attempting to do or Signal has been attempting to do, then, yes, we will be at a choke point that we may not be able to ever breathe again.
I don't know how to respond to this, ladies and gentlemen, but this has become deadly serious. And I agree completely with Larry Pratt that says, hey, you know what, folks, you better start to worry about who you're going to elect next in 2022. Because you know what? You got Kamala Harris deciding everything now and about to be president. Look, and I'm entitled to my own opinion on this. She's a flat-out communist.
Right. And she's functioning as president already. There was one day that actually got reported in the media when she was taking calls from foreign leaders that otherwise would have normally been taken by the president. But the president, you can tell just by looking at the poor guy. He's not there. He's done. And so she's the one that's moved in to fill in the vacuum. And if that was something that was anticipated, that's why they went with her. She never could have gotten elected on her own. In the primary, she was just absolutely buried and did not do well at all, even among Democrats. She was able to get elected on the coattails as the running mate with Joseph Robinette Biden. And I guess even a lot of Democrats had the notion that this was some kind of non-radical Democrat that was not going to try to, as Obama used to put it, fundamentally transform the country. Well, that was a mistaken idea. And clearly, a fundamental transformation of the country is underway.
Have we waited too long?
Well, I'm not sure that we have. I don't write future history. I can only tell you that from time to time, we've faced these critical points in our own history. And there's a certain resilience in Americans that is almost unique because of the ideas that the country was founded upon. And as much as they've tried in the schools and through the media and the movies and whatnot, they haven't really been able to extinguish that flame of liberty that still, I think, is burning in the hearts of so many Americans. And so perhaps we're at a point where people have been pushed enough that there's going to be a mighty pushback. If it's not, if it can't happen in 2022, it's hard to see how we're going to get out of the mess. That's probably our last train out.
All right. I bring this up, ladies and gentlemen, because we have waited too long in America. A lot of people didn't come out to vote because they had kind of the frustration of the divide in the Republican Party. I don't like Trump, and I'm not going to go out and vote. You had vote fraud. You had all these things. But I'm telling you right now, you think the next election cycle is going to get better? Unless we, the people, start to stand up in meaningful ways, it's not going to get better, Larry.
I think that is the rallying cry that we all need to get off our apathy. I remember we knew an elderly Cuban lady years ago, a refugee from Castro communism, and it was hard for her to get around. It was difficult for her to move. And it was kind of cold and rainy that election. And she was going to go vote against the Democrats no matter what. And what was resonating in her mind was she was going to do it for Elian Gonzalez, who had been the chap that was kidnapped by the communists and returned to Cuban slavery right out of the United States. And our federal government allowed it. Well, so we've been going for a long time down this road. But she saw it clearly. She saw Fidel Castro when she looked at an administration that would permit such an outrage. And she was willing to die going to vote.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's hard to know how to respond in this, but I'm telling you right now, the Biden communist team has taken off the gloves. And the problem is if we act inappropriately in ways that aren't helpful, they'll just simply call you a terrorist. They're using Operation Choke Point and shutting us down, deplatforming us everywhere to the point where if we do nothing, we will eventually lose our ability to have free speech. And then sadly, only your right to keep and bear arms will protect you. Now, that's not a threat. That's a concern to which I'm entitled. Larry, final word's yours.
Well, Sam, I appreciate you keeping your microphone on the air, and I hope people are willing and able to support you because it's absolutely imperative that independent voices continue to speak out.
Donate today, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyRoundtable.com. We need your support. Thanks, Larry.